Hello, good evening, and welcome to episode 2, season 6 of the SSF Rumcast. I am, as always, Jessica Haynes, and I am joined by my sister from another mister.
Emma, hello. Oh, Emma Jackson. You did surname
Yes,
this
I
time.
did.
Last
I don't
time
know.
we were very casual last time. It was just first
Yes,
names
we're
and
going for the proper formal now.
yeah, that's it. It did feel very formal. I was getting like CBeebies news round vibes.
What you don't know is that underneath this, I've got nothing on.
Oh no,
So,
don't. Let's not go there with that stuff. I shouldn't have done it. Okay. Yeah,
number two.
episode two.
Yeah. So if you were with us last week, we gave you some information, but not a huge amount of information about what we're actually doing this week, because we've taken a
Yeah.
bit of a turn in the format. So
Yes.
yeah. We're kind of sticking to the 6 degrees of the baconness. So we are kind of linking each book to the next book. But from 2 to 5, that's right, isn't it? 2 to 5, we are going on different tangents.
Yes.
So we
We
will
will
have
be
different links.
traveling on different roads,
Yeah,
wheeling
paths
around, and then
unknown.
arriving at the same destination in episode six.
Yeah. Hopefully, hopefully.
Yeah. So last week we did The Winter King by C.L. Wilson. Is that
That's the very chap.
right? That's the one. Yeah. So now we get to announce what theme or trope or element we took from it and which book we picked to discuss in this episode. So, do you want to
Indeed.
go first?
I can do. I can do. Do we want book or link first?
We could do link. We could do the link
I'm
and
gonna
then you
link the
tell
link.
the book. I don't mind. You
Oh,
looked
either
surprised
or.
then. I was like, did you want to do
I don't know which way
the book first? This is fine.
to go. No, I will do my link first because
Okay.
that's the whole point of the joining of the podcast. My
Mm-hmm.
link to my book is Deception.
Ooh, okay.
And
I'm
my book
curious.
is Tempting the Beast by Laura Lee.
Ooh, I think I might have heard of that one.
It's a bit more old school. I actually have the actual book because I don't think when I first got it, I could get it on
Oh,
my
you
Kindle.
mentioned that last week.
Yes.
Yeah, having a physical book, very
I
old
know.
school.
Weird.
But cool. Okay, so should I do? I'll announce my one now.
Drum roll,
So
please.
I went with sort of berserker god possessions
Okay.
to go. Yeah, I know, just like really
Want to
specific there.
pinpoint it for us, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That was the element. Obviously, because in The Winter King, he's got the Ice King, hasn't he?
The
Sort of
icy heart.
icy heart. Yeah, but I mean, the only thing it is, I picked it, and then afterwards I was like, "Was that a god?" I would say it's a god.
He
Would you
has got
say?
godlike tendencies, hasn't he, with Roland's sword and everything in tow?
Yeah,
He's kind of up there.
yeah. So we'll go for that. And my book is Paladin's Grace by T. Kingfisher. Have you read
Yes.
that one?
I have it here. I did not read it.
Oh, you haven't read it, but yeah.
No,
So you'll
I
find
think.
out. I'll see
Yes.
if I can entice you.
Ooh, like the dove from above.
I remember that. Cool,
Yes,
cool.
that's the right one.
You
You
knew.
are new.
You fool.
If you're not pretty,
We
you're
were
really
just,
sorry.
I know, we were just in different playgrounds miles away from each other in our childhoods, doing this stuff with other people, not
Yeah,
knowing
looking
we
at.
would eventually find each other, kind of like this series,
Indeed,
eventually
it gets
wind
back
our
to it.
way.
Yes, looking at the same sun in the sky and wanting to just go
That's
home and
it.
read books.
Yes. So, one on that note, shall
Let's
we?
go
Let's go.
and read. So, Laura Lee, Tempting the Beast is my book, and this is one I found. Yeah, it's a one that I found quite a good while away, and I'll give some spoilers. No, I won't give some spoilers. I'll give some issues about trigger warnings because there will be
Okay.
something I mentioned quite early that will be spoilery and that might bother people. But yeah, so
Yeah.
just yeah, trigger warnings. Just check your books. You know what you're doing, people. Okay, so we have this is my name that I'm a bit confused about. I'm calling her Merriness because
that sounds fun.
Yeah, because somebody calls her Mary later in the book, but me and the other half were like, is it Marinus? Marie?
Oh, I see.
So we're going for Marinus because it sounds jolly and festive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have Mary, who is the youngest of 8 kids, and everybody above her is a boy. So she is sassy, stubborn, and when she wants to go for it, she goes for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they are all, they don't mention mum, but there is dad, and dad is a journalist. He's been a journalist for years, and all of the kids have kind of followed along in his path. The boys have all had other bits and pieces that they've nipped in and out of, which has some relevance to other bits of deception, which is my link at other points.
Yes.
But yeah, but Mary's been there and she wants to do it. She's in her 20s. She's kind of just really getting in there. And the dad has received a box from somebody he used to go to college with. And in this box is information from a woman he was very good friends with at college who was murdered. And basically, it outlines that there is a government facility where they have been testing to try and link DNA from cats, big cats, with humans and create this strain of, they're trying to breed super soldiers in the end.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they've got various feline breeds who they have been trying to merge with people. And this woman managed to implement a ovum, whatever, zygote, whatever you call it, into herself and was surrogate for this man.
Okay.
And she was murdered, but she sent this box out saying, in the event of my desk, I need you to find him and to get him to go public with what is going on and get this base shut down because it is horrendous.
Right.
So basically, this entire family has been working on this, trying to get this chap, whose name is Callan Lyons. We'll just give that a minute. to right, basically come forward. So they've all been working behind the scenes. And Mary, as soon as she saw the picture of this dude, she's like, oh, he's quite nice and tasty. And she's already having a moment with him. But she's having to persuade 7 older brothers that she can go have contact with him as a woman, because the men are just going to go in all guns blazing, especially her eldest brother, Kane, who has a massive military background. So she has to persuade these brothers that she can go in, get some information and get him to talk and come forward and go public with what he is. In the end, she kind of gets her way, youngest, stubborn, etc. But Kane is going to be in there with her. And as soon as she gets there, she knows who he is, but she's been asking around like she doesn't know who he is. So she's been going around all the people in the village. Oh, do you know who he is? Do you know where he is? And she's found where he lives, but she can't find a way to get in. So she's kind of lurking around the outskirts with the binoculars and setting up a little camp. And he knows that she's there, but he doesn't let her know that he knows she's there.
Okay. And it's very cat behaviour, that.
Yeah.
Did she try draw in a circle and see if he'd sit in the middle of it?
She's going to crochet and just kind of lead it around the path. No, what he actually does is he comes out and sunbathes naked and starts yanking the snake. So, and she's watching him, and he knows she's there, and it's all very heightened.
Right.
So yeah, he has heightened sense of smell, sense of taste. He's all downy and fluffy.
This is giving Thundercats vibes.
Well, this is it, yeah. So this is going to be mentioned later on. So it's quite fun. So he's sat doing this while she's watching. She's already kind of heightened by just seeing him. So she's getting a bit hot and bothered. It is a notable point to say she is a virgin, because obviously. She doesn't know what... She kind of understands the feelings are there, but she doesn't know how she knows that they're that epically physical, because she'd never experienced some of these feelings before. So she's kind of like, okay, this is all a bit weird. It's a bit much. I didn't think it would be like this when this happens. But yeah, basically it is very cat and mousey. So at the end of it, she's like, okay, I'm going to go see him. I know he works part-time at this garage. and I'm going to go and see him and pretend I don't know who he is. So she goes up. He is there with his head under the bonnet. And she's like, hi, do you know Callan? Do you know where he is? And he's like, oh, I'll get a message to him. And they're both stood there.
They both know.
Blatantly lying to the other one
right.
about what to do. And yeah, mm-hmm. she's kind of like, just, oh, yeah, twirling her hair and being a bit seductive and, yeah, just trying to get his attention one yeah. way or another to make him crack. And he doesn't and she doesn't. but it gets to a head when she gets a phone call from somebody. Her brother's had to go off for some reason. And she gets a phone call to say, okay, you want to know where the entrance to this place is to speak to this dude? It's around here. So she gets this little map. She draws it up, goes off in a Jeep. And what she doesn't know, which Callan is trying to keep under his belt, is that he escaped from this facility. So, yeah, so he is the product of this right. horrible, yeah, I don't know, it's like a Frankenstein's creation base when you read mm-hmm. more into it. It's not pleasant. And he escaped once and he got pulled back. And he and the other breeds that nobody knows about, they only think there was ever him who survived, right. set fire to the place, killed loads of people and got away. So he is trying to keep her away to protect his pride,
yeah.
which they're not all lions. There are different breeds within it. And those are the future books. But yeah, this is what he's doing. He's trying to keep her away because if he goes public, he's pretty sure that mm-hmm. they are all going to be found out. And he doesn't mind dying for his cause. And he will go to his grave with their identities hidden. Because none of the others are mentioned in his mum's paperwork. She only ever mm-hmm. fully documented him because he was technically hers.
Right.
So, yeah, basically, Mary gets this map to go to his front door. And what you find out is that there is loads of assassins who are regularly sent to Callan's area to mm-hmm. kind of get him to come out and to try and capture him. Mm-hmm. So one of them had seen her asking questions about him around and about the place, and they've lured her in because they think that she has some link to him.
Right, so, yeah, immediately basically, made herself a target.
Yes, basically. So she gets there and there's like these assassins basically there to take her out. And he knows that she's in the surroundings and he goes ballistic and he goes all growly and he sort of shoots down the mountain and kills them all. And then when they are in super close proximity and he's all catty, things start kicking off in that sexual energy department that she didn't okay. know about. So, yeah, basically, I'll try and condense it now. Mm-hmm. The more they're together, the more these urges, these sexual urges kind of start kicking off.
I see.
And they kind of bounce against each other. So he gets more feral and more dominant.
That's one way of putting it.
Yeah, yeah. He gets something the more he's with her, and then she becomes not submissive because she really isn't,
yeah.
but yeah, she kind of starts getting pulled under that dominance and then fighting back okay. against him as the push and pull of things are. And yeah, basically what it gets down to is there's a mating frenzy. So with how they've tweaked the DNA, something in her DNA calls to him, and then he sort of kickstarts her into this massive ovulation cycle. And
oh,
it's
wow.
kind of, yeah, the more they're together, the worse and the worse it gets. And when they finally do end up having sex, he's got like some super duper semen that even though they're trying to shove contraceptives into her because they don't know how his messed up DNA is gonna
uh-huh.
react with hers,
yeah.
basically it kind of changes her DNA in theory and it kind of starts destroying the contraception within her
uh-huh.
because basically the body just wants to breed and create yep. more fluffy downy babies.
So when you say, does he like shift into the
no
cat,
he doesn't shift
just, he's just
no he
just
is
being
just
like him letting the beast out kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, Jeff, it's kind of spoken about that it's in him, there is this beast in him, but it's kind of, yeah, more the persona that he goes yeah. a lot more aggressive, he gets a lot more angry
mm-hmm.
and yeah, he doesn't shift into anything, but he does have the heightened sense of smell, taste and bits like that. And
yeah.
he's got glands under his tongue that when they kiss, they kind of set her into an even worse frenzy. So yeah, every time they kiss, that starts it 10 times worse. And the only wow. way to stop the fire is by him finishing her off and her yeah. finishing him off.
Okay.
As you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Sounds busy.
Yes. But yeah, so the main point is that, yeah, they need to kind of then work together to get it put out there. And it's then her brother, Kane, has been lying in theory because he knows about this. When he was like special ops guy, he knew that this facility existed, and he was pulled along and is already being in contact with one of the other female breeds who is in the compound that Callan created. So there's loads of lies and bits and pieces lurking,
which is very similar to the Winter King. It's like every time you think that you know everything, another thing comes out of the
there's
woodwork.
Another thing that comes out. Well, yeah, this is it. And it, you kind of still get to the very, very end, and then something else comes out about his mom, and you go, "Oh, didn't see that bit coming." So yeah, there's loads of stuff going on, but it was very good. Very, very many sexy times.
It does. It sounds like it. Yeah, I still can't stop picturing Thundercats.
Well, she does. She calls
Have you
him
got the
Lion-O.
There with the cover? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you see it. Thunder, 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 thunder.
It's
Oh, my
even
ring
the
light's
right
gone off.
colours, isn't it? With the streaky thing. Yeah. That's a cool cover, though.
Oh, it's very good. But yes, so that's mine.
Okay, right. So, yeah, but it's quite different.
Of course
We're
it is.
already doing this tangent thing. So Paladin's Grace, it's the god side of things features quite heavily into it because so Stephen is a paladin, and the book opens with him. He is a paladin for, what is it, the Saint of Steel. And he's with some of his fellow brothers. And they're like, they kind of, mostly they're berserkers, basically. But they're guided by the god. And so it stops them from hurting innocents and like being more focused when they go into their berserker thing. And so they'll be involved in wars, but they'll also be kind of, they help out in other ways as well, like with protection, you know. And when it opens, that's kind of what they've been doing. They've been going off to help, I think it's the Temple of Dreamers. There's been some like demons and stuff, and they've gone to help with that. But they're riding back, and basically they suddenly get hit by this intense feeling of emptiness, and it's described as like being cored, and that it's just long enough before their kind of berserker rage falls and they realize their god has died, which is not something that anyone knew could happen, because there's lots of different gods for different things and lots of different temples. So it worries everyone, but that's what happens right at the beginning. And then, yeah, the sort of the berserker rage kind of, they call it like, well, he describes it as kind of like a black tide. It rolls over him and then he doesn't know what happens after that.
Boom.
And then it's 3 years later, and him and a couple of others, other brothers from the Saint of Steel, have been taken in by the Temple of the White Rat. Now, they don't have paladins or anything like that. So they've kind of got this relationship where the paladins that no longer have a god are being given shelter, and they're very lost. They don't know what to do with themselves. It's taken them quite badly. There was terrible things that they did when the god died, and some of them couldn't live with what had happened. So trigger warning for that. There's some self-unaliving that's gone on and things like that. They're like really despondent, and some of them are dealing with it better than others. But in the Temple of the White Rat, they're like kind of diplomats and lawyers, and but in a, what would you call it, like a citizens advice bureau almost. They like help out. They're kind, they're very kind people, kind practical
Aww.
People that go out and do good. So if there's waifs and strays, they will be the one that takes them in. And they've taken in Stephen and there's a couple of others, which I'll probably go into later. And then the paladins help them out by kind of being their hired muscle. So if there's things happening where they need to have some protection, they'll help out.
You've got a bouncer.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. And he goes to go into this old part of town, which is called Weaver's Nest, which is where he grew up, to meet with a healer who's got some rounds to do. And the healer is like, I don't need you to come with me for this. You know, I don't need a bodyguard. But there's been a serial killer going around decapitating people. So he's like, I should really stay. But the healer's really, really nice. And he asks some questions about it and things. And like, they're still wearing the cloaks to show that they are of the Saint of Steel, even though he's not still around. And like, the healer's asking, well, why are you doing that? And he's like, well, really to warn people that we're still dangerous. Because the berserker rages can still come over them. They'll get tipped over. But without the god there, they fear there's nothing to hold them back anymore. And really, it's only each other that have been able to stop them whenever that's how they basically like knock each other out so they can't do anything. Because, you know, like with berserkers, they're filled with so much, you know, inhuman strength kind of thing. But he goes into Weaver's Nest, it's called, and eventually the healer gets around to one patient and he's like, I'm going to have to stay here the entire night. If you could go back to the temple and just let them know that that's where I'm going to be. So as Stephen's walking out, he hears running, and this woman comes around the corner and she's like, hide me. He's like, oh, okay. And it turns out there's some priests from the Hanged Mother that are coming, and these are like the worst. They are kind of like the Inquisition type people. Yeah. These are the people that are going to try and burn you for stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're sort of in favor with the ruler at the moment. You know, they lean towards certain types of religions and gods and things, and then they'll get more favor, and that will then have you know, consequences as to rules and stuff like that. So he helps, but the way he helps is because this particular part of town is not too far from kind of their red light district area. So of course what he does is he lifts her up against the wall and pretends that they're having sex.
Yeah, yeah.
As they come behind him. And these two from the Hanged Mother, they do not give in easily either. And like, Stephen's really sweet. He's trying to do this thing, and he's like going, oh yeah, you can I've not seen a woman other than this one, you can go find your own, you know, kind mm-hmm. of thing. And all the while he's doing this, he's like kind of apologizing to her, I'm so sorry that I'm having to do this, like under his breath, because he's like, he's very sweet and he's doing this thing. But then she takes part in it too. She's like, she cottons on quick what's happening and gets into it, but she's terrible. It's the thing as well, she's like faking it, but she's really bad at faking it. So like, to the point where he's like, you understand why later on. So she's not a virgin hero, but she is I don't know if she is technically divorced. I don't think she's technically divorced. But her husband was, you know, he did a number on her confidence in the bedroom and made it all her fault that he was rubbish, basically. So she would have to pretend to, you know, to get him to give in and stop, kind of thing, you know, be done, get it over with quickly. So she dials it up far too high. It's not very believable, and she's got no context for what would be believable because she's not had that experience. So it's really well done, because it's kind of like, it's so funny because of your kind of like your first moment between your two is like them distanced but actually getting off.
But yeah, really getting off.
And these two are literally pretending, but not getting off at all. Because it's like, she's holding, she's got her legs around him, but because he's got all his armor on, it's like digging into his chainmail. This is the point. So it like, it never gets kind of icky, because he's like, that there is no, there's no way he would get aroused or she would from this position that they're being in. But finally they give in and go off, and like, he says, like, can I walk you back, make sure you're okay? And she's like, yeah, all right then. And explains what she was doing. And it turns out she's a perfumer. And she was going to a graveyard to pick a particular type of flower that's not valuable to anyone. But these monks or priests from the Hanged Mother thought she was trying to steal something valuable.
Ooh, what's it?
And didn't believe it. They'd take any excuse, really. There's, yeah. But so she's explaining all about that and they're having a nice chat. And he's like, for the first time in ages, he's starting to feel alive, you know, and sort of it's really sweet. She's making him laugh, and he was like, don't remember the last time he laughed. And it reminds him, God, I've been really miserable, you know. And he takes her back to her perfume shop, and there's a little moment where she says, like, she's at the end of the road. And she's like, oh, you can leave it. I can go the rest of the way from here. And he's like, oh, well, don't. I've rescued you. Don't let it be like half a rescue. And her back goes up immediately at that moment. But he like notices, and he's like, oh, I've put my foot in it. I'm sorry, whatever I've said.
Aww.
So, she explains that she's got these neighbors that are like always like curtain twitching on her, and you know, she'll go back, and that's it. And they part ways, and they've not even got each other's names or anything like that. And back
she's got the chainmail.
Back at her perfume shop, her it's like a week later, and she still can't stop thinking about him.
Of course she can't.
Because he smells of gingerbread as well. It's like one of these, and it's driving her nuts because she knows so much about the smells and where certain smells come from. And she's like, you know, there's particular scents that are used for like oiling armor and things like that. And it's not that thing. So why does he smell like
Why does he smell like biscuits?
Has he been baking biscuits? Why would he do that? He doesn't bake biscuits. I won't say why he smells of gingerbread, but I will say that one of the things he does, which I haven't mentioned previously, when he's waiting for the healer, when he's going in to do his visits, he gets his knitting out. He does some knitting.
Oh, bless him.
Socks for everybody to be useful, to find something to do with his time, because it's a lot of standing around.
He could leave a berserker.
So
like
sweet. And so she, but the gingerbread is only one part of the thing. She's obviously thinking about him. They've had this connection. And her landlady comes in, and she's kind of also her best friend. And her name's Marguerite, and she's a spy, basically. Which is great. She's at the court, and she takes her payment from Grace, in because it's Grace who is the lady. She takes her payment in perfumes, and then she sells them at court, which is great for Grace because she gets them kind of like recognized at that like higher level. And then they'll keep buying them anyway, even when Marguerite's finished trying to extract information
doing what
from
she's
them
doing
and moved on. Yeah, it's funny because she's like, she's so sick of making perfume with sandalwood as well, which made me laugh. It's
like, how it's many like, times?
Always sandalwood.
Always bloody sandalwood.
That's it.
I still don't know what it smells like. One day.
I don't know what it smells like. I'm sure I would reckon, if someone like, if I sniff something and go, oh, that's sandalwood, I'd be like, oh, I've been smelling that
that's
tons.
It.
But yeah. I don't know.
Do they make a comfort with sandalwood? It's like lilies and...
I don't know.
I'm
they don't
going
put
to
that...
Lush.
On the side, do they,
no.
of the bottle? They only put
smells
it on
like
men's
romance
things.
Lead.
yeah exactly. She Marguerite has also got wind of the fact that I'm kind of skipping a little bit so we can get there, but there's a prince coming from one of the close cities, and she wants Grace to make up, he needs like offerings. All the nobles come and they offer gifts and things, so while they're doing their diplomatic chit chats and whatnot, and she wants Grace to make a special blend of perfume for him. She's like, fine, she can do that. And Grace asks some questions about, like, the Saints of Steel. And she's, you know, she's talking to a spy. She immediately gets what's going
on.
And
come
on. She digs a little bit deeper. She's like, right, I'm going to try and find out who he is, you know, and where he is. And she kind of fills in a little bit about some of the stuff that happened. And that also brings about the fact that Grace hasn't been in the city for a long time either. She's only been there a couple of years, which is why she didn't know the events that played out when the god died. And she'd run away from her husband. Grace has had like a really hard life. She was in an orphanage. She got picked up at like 9 by a perfumer for an to be an apprentice. And he was horrible. And she's got this like old book that he used to use, but he could never use because he couldn't decipher it, but she could. And she took that with her when she left, when she got married. Yeah, but it's full of the strangest stuff. It really is. And she kind of uses it to look up, like, almost, it's like alchemy, but not, and like witchcraft, and but nice. Also perfume stuff. It's a very strange book. And she uses that to like try and get advice. And it often nothing remotely helpful.
I'd imagine, yeah. Dabbling in witchcraft is yeah. not going to kind of put you in good stead for most things.
Mm-hmm. So as well as that, then she got married, and that obviously didn't go well. And her husband had affairs and things like that. And he'd taken on her apprenticeship, and he never put forward for her to then be made a master of the guild. So she's still technically not that. And she legged it. She'd had enough. She was going to leave. And she also took her... There was a pet. So have you ever heard of, I think this is how you say it. What's that, what they called? Civets or servets? Let me see.
I have no idea.
Right. It's kind of like a cross between a ferret and a big cat.
Okay.
And they secrete something which is used. I'm not saying it right. I need to look that up.
We'll look into it.
Civets.
Is it from... Yeah. Is it from glands of some description?
It's from glands. It's perfume. Yeah. It's going to be gross. Anything that's used for perfume is totally gross. But he picked the wrong... I think he picked the wrong sex of... I think it's meant to be the female when he's got a male. And he didn't understand anything about perfuming. So she pretended, because otherwise she knew he'd get rid of it. Like, aww, he'd kill it off. And so she took him... with her. So he's useless to help her. He just like digs holes in upholstery.
Just wanders. Yeah.
Exactly. She's rescued this pet and brought it with her. And like Marguerite gets her dress dolled up when she's done this perfume and takes her to the court. And of course Stephen's there too.
Of course he is.
Because he's gone to be one of the kind of the retinue of one of the higher members of the White Rat Temple, who is her name's Bearclaw. She's very
sounds
cool.
Fun.
Awesome. Bear Tongue, sorry, not Bearclaw. Bear Tongue's just cool as well.
Yeah.
And he's got two of his other brothers with him, and they've all been selected simply because they have beards. Because that's meant to be a good sign to these people from this other city. It's like, I don't know why. So they've gone, and then while she's there, while Grace is there, he spots her when she goes up to do her thing, like present the perfume to this prince. But as she's coming away, there's these nobles from this other city, which is where she fled from, and she's kind of been hiding herself. They've made up this story, her and Marguerite, that because she's a perfumer, she has to keep her nose like really clear. She's got like a hanky with something in it to, I think it's like char beans or something, so that she keeps it clear, but so she can hide her face, basically. But she sees her, and it's one of the women that her husband dallied with, basically, and completely embarrassed her. And she starts to have a panic attack, and she like legs it out. and Stephen has noticed her, and they've the people he's with, his brothers and Bear Tongue, have noticed and gone like, "You can go, go. We know what's going on. You
go save the day, Stephen.
Go save the day." And he meets up with her, and he kind of gets her while she's swooning again, which is like, she feels terrible. Like, why does this keep happening? And just when she's feeling better and they're starting to like walk back inside kind of the main stateroom, they come across basically like an assassin attempt. And that, and because of their timing, they're kind of implicated in it. So that kind of is what ties them together and like kicks off some of the rest of the plot and the story, which is
it sounds like a wild ride.
It is. It's a wild ride, but it's like at the same, I mean, and that even touching on like the serial killer stuff, which is also woven through it at the same time. Yeah. There's like kind of these two plots going on that come together. But at the same time, it's really cozy.
I was thinking it's like handholding and lovely.
It is
jolly,
the strangest tone. But in the best way, it's amazing.
So Jack the Ripper meets.
A very Terry Pratchett-esque tone. But yeah, it's very cool.
It sounds very good.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
So, what was your cocktail for yours? What was
Okay, so I was going to try and make something up, but I saw one that I thought, if I don't pick this, it's fantastic. I couldn't have picked anything funnier. Okay, so my cocktail would be, it's kind of pina colada-esque without the pineapple. So it's rum and coconut and lime.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the lint roller.
As I take a sip of drink.
Sorry.
Brilliant.
I was going to leave it a minute, but I thought, no. But I read it and I kind of giggled. I couldn't stop.
That's exactly what you need.
Yeah, basically. So, yeah, my part one is my plot, obviously. So the first part that I want to talk about is shifters. So
okay.
So when you mentioned it and it was like, oh, does he shift? And no, he doesn't. And none of them do.
Right.
But, yeah. It's kind of how many, if you stop and think about it, how many different types of shifters there are. And, you know, I remember first starting to read books and it was just wolves. That was it. It was werewolves and wolf shifters. And, you know, I don't know if there were so many others way back in the day or.
Definitely werewolves are like the, mythologically speaking, the most common one. But even when you go back in like other legends, there's like tons of different animals that like shift into things. I mean, yeah, but in terms of romance books, it was always werewolves.
It was always wolves, and then you'd kind of, some of them now I've read rabbit ones and some of the really weird like ferrets and all sorts of stuff, and I love it. But yeah, it was just the different levels of as well. So you get some fully shift, some who only shift partially, like your lichens and stuff like that. And whereas this one, there's no shifting at all. I'd imagine because of how the DNA was sort of spliced
it's
in.
Just it's what just, they are, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just taken traits of it. And then, yeah, some will shift when it's full moon only, and some are just kind of all the time. Alphas are going to shift differently to betas and omegas. Yeah. And it just kind of, it made me really stop and actually think about it on kind of a different level that.
Yeah.
I don't really pay attention to it when I'm reading it. It just is.
You just
that way.
Kind of like, oh, how are they going to do it in this one?
In this
book, kind of the thing. Yeah. That was funny you mentioned it about like bunny ones and things. Because I've read a couple of the Psy Changeling ones I was telling you, didn't I? I was like going on to a bit of a getting into that again. And it's like, she'll always focus on, you know, the apex predator type ones. But there are others. She just doesn't talk about.
No, you don't
like,
mention
they're
them.
There, but we're not going to focus on those. We're not going to focus on, you know.
We're not going to have a love interest in the rat family. They just, they're just helpful to the plot.
Not squirrels.
No. Aww.
Aww. But would they be giant ones? That's the thing. Because
That
it,
would be.
it's always like a large animal, isn't it? Because it kind of
Yes,
makes sense.
bears
But
and.
if you, would you have like a giant bunny or not? Because I feel like that would be even more terrifying.
Oh, yeah, like Curse of the Were-Rabbit, like the big forest thing
Exactly.
coming out. Yeah.
Is it
That would
that,
be.
or is it like Bedknobs and Broomsticks, where he becomes the tiny bunny?
It very well could be.
I don't
I
know.
don't know. See, when I've done things, my shifters are. I've done stone, so that's more fun to sit and play with. But yeah, I've never sat and done another creature to sit and think about that. But that is something
No,
fun to play with.
it is
Imagine
definitely.
a 7-foot bunny.
Like, so frightening. I suppose it wouldn't really go under the radar. Like, if you've got a
No.
wolf, then it can just go run in the woods, and people are like, oh, there's a wolf in the woods. But like, if you've got
Yeah, this
a
giant
7
rabbit.
foot bunny going around stealing people's pumpkins and stuff, you know, there's a
Oh,
fanfic out
Jesus.
there somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah.
There
With a
will
giant
be.
guild carrot. Where's that going?
Yeah. Oh, God. Jessica, you had to go there.
Gotta make it dark somehow.
Yes.
It's a rabbit. How else are you going to explain
Oh, little fluffy
So, do you
tail.
want to do your bits or shall I finish my bit?
I'll do
You
mine,
do
okay, and
your
we'll be
bits
like same.
back
So
and
my
forth.
cocktail, because of the gingerbreadness, is a gingerbread martini. So
Ooh.
the plot is the vodka. But what I'm doing with my first bit that I want to talk about, that's you mix it with Baileys, which is what
Ooh.
I've been drinking throughout
Job
this.
done. I have seen
Yes.
it.
And the reason I felt that really suited this particular bit is because Baileys is it feels like it's the kind of drink that you start to regularly get once you become a bit middle-aged.
Yes, I have several different flavors of
Yeah.
Baileys. Yeah.
I'm sure there are young people out there that enjoy it too, but I never did
No.
until it was like, you know, until it was Christmas time and it was like, and it started to become this thought that, oh, I must pick up the Baileys. You know,
Yes.
it's on offer in the supermarket now. I must get that to put it in the cupboard.
Yes. It
And it's
goes so well
that,
in a coffee as well.
yeah.
Just an
Oh, that
easy.
would be good.
Ooh.
So is that kind of practical thinking that only happens once you get over a certain point in life, which is what it felt really unique to this story, because they're older protagonists. They're
Yes.
like in their late 30s. And it's the first book I've really read that I've gone, these they really feel like they think like older people,
Yes.
right? You know, like how sometimes you get people that read, you get people review books and they go, these people are meant to be in their 30s and they don't act like it. And it's not that I'm criticizing that, because I think people in their 30s are just as likely to make stupid decisions like and act like idiots
Yeah.
as young people. You know, being someone that has gone past their 30s, it's very much true that you will still do silly
Really stupid
shit.
things.
Yeah. And not act particularly mature, because you never feel mature. But there's also, without a doubt, a certain passage of time that gives you a kind of mix of cynicism and practicality, I
Yes.
think. And that is what kind of feeds into this. So like when they have the berserker rage and they get like this inhuman strength, afterwards they've done things they shouldn't have done, like for their body. He's knackered. He's muscled. Like, he's obviously, because he trains and he's, you know, he carries a heavy sword and he knows how to use it. But he's like, he's still quite, he's kind of like a fit dad bod, I guess. It's like,
Nice.
this is the thing. So like when he comes to after doing something like that, he's, you know, his back's slipped out and stuff. And it's just brilliant.
The knees, you forget that the knees don't work as well
Yeah,
when
the
you've
knees,
danced in
the
high
hip,
heels for 3 hours
stuff
here.
like this. He doesn't. This is the thing with standing up. He doesn't like to do the standing up ones just in one place for too
Yes,
long.
because
That's
everything
your
will
feet.
seize up. Fair
And he's
enough.
like, when he's in Weaver's Nest, he like notices these kids playing this like skipping game, and it's got like a particular rhyme to it. And he remembers playing it, and he remembers like the most amount of skips he got to, but he just reflects and he's like, it's funny how I can remember that, but I can't remember what I did last week. And
Yeah.
it's like, yes, that's exactly
Perfectly.
it. Yeah. So I really enjoyed that about it. They're very authentically their age. And yet it doesn't take anything away from it. I think sometimes you think like if they're older protagonists and they come across as older protagonists, it won't be as sexy or something. And
No.
it's like, admittedly, some bits are not as sexy. It's not as sexy to put your
No.
back out, but it's still good times.
Yeah, we did it. Yeah. Kids, if you ever watch this, don't.
But there we go. So yeah, that was my second bit. So what was your other mix for
Okay,
your cocktail
so
then?
oddly, so yeah, it's so my rum was the first, coconut water second, and it's some lime in the third. And oddly, it links in very, very well with
Oh,
what you
nice.
were just saying. So mine was to do with references. So the book was published back in 2003, and there were a lot of references in there that made me giggle. So yeah, as you said, she calls him Lion-O in the book. So if you are of a certain age and you watched Thundercats in the 80s and the 90s, you will know this reference. And at one point, she's kind of like, oh, come on then, He-Man, let's get going. And it's kind of the same sort of thing. And it was like, when it was done, that made sense to me because they were in their 20s and I would have been around that similar age. But nowadays, you've got to be sort of really careful because the 24-year-olds now were born in the year 2000.
Don't say,
So,
but yeah, okay.
yeah,
It's
24,
weird, so
it's so
weird, but
weird.
yes.
Yeah, these people are
Not
grown
weird
ups.
to
They
them, that's just
shouldn't
their
be.
life. But it's when people go, what, you were born in the late 1900s? Yeah,
Shut
I
up,
was
kid.
actually
But
weird.
this is it. If you were to write a book now with a 24-year-old protagonist, you can't mention, the raccoons, or you can't say any of these things. People go, well, what now?
There's a lot of discussion about that, isn't there? Like some readers really, really hate pop references, like pop culture references. And I kind of feel like you can put in certain ones and then not other ones. 'Cause I think like some pop culture kind of transcends generation to a
Yeah,
point.
you
Like,
pick the big, proper, big people.
yeah, you can talk about Elvis because, like,
Yes.
for a long time, many
He was
years, you can
the
talk
king of
about Elvis.
pop.
You can now talk, if you put in Taylor Swift, people are going to know who you're
Yeah,
talking
loads of
about.
people would know. Yeah, it's go-to
And
things like the Queen. Everybody knows who the Queen is, or Prince.
And like, it's not a terrible thing to date your work, I don't think either, because it's always going to be a product of its time. Like, I'm sure there's stuff you read in that that you think, maybe people wouldn't enjoy that so much. Like, they might criticize it for that, but those were kind of the parameters we were working on. Now it's like Friends, I've seen a lot of discussion about Friends, and there's stuff you watch now when you see them and they're making particular jokes and you're like, that's a bit
You've
naff.
aged badly.
But at the same time, there was things about Friends that was very progressive at the time, and it's like you can still kind of see that and appreciate it, and it's unavoidable. It doesn't matter what you do, you're writing from your time period, so
Yeah,
you
this is
can't
it.
like you can't write into the future for a generation that doesn't exist,
Yeah, God, God. I would never have guessed that some of the stuff that my kids watch on TV and enjoy and go,
How
but
could we possibly have fathomed what their brains would be like,
no, at all.
at
It
all.
just makes no sense,
No,
but
things have
it
changed
does to
so
them.
fast. But
Really
yeah, but
has.
like niche things, it's a little bit, you're taking a little bit of a gamble there, aren't you? That someone's going to get the joke, basically.
Yes, this is it. But as I said to you earlier, I was looking at it thinking, okay, so I'll do a little bit of digging. And I was like, okay, around the 2000s, I was 18. So to me, the references made perfect sense.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, what was number one around the time I was 18?
Uh-huh.
And again, I don't know if it kind of travels across the globe, but mine was Sonique. It Feels So Good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And then I kind of thought, you know what? I'll have a look at yours just to kind of see it was. And yours was Bob the Builder. And but it wasn't Bob the Builder. It was Mambo Number 5 by Bob the Builder. I didn't even know that was a thing. Imagine going down the club and dancing to that.
Maybe.
Mambo Number 5 by Bob the Builder.
Wow.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
That is, well, I can hear it. So
yeah.
I don't know whether I'm conjuring that from my nightmares or what.
Yeah, yeah.
So
Hungover
it's
Emma.
there.
Bob the what now? But the week after was Hey Baby by DJ Otzi, which I thought was a little bit better.
I don't even remember that one. I
Hey,
might
hey,
know.
baby.
Oh, that one. Oh, geez. Yeah. Oh, God.
You remember that one?
I remember that one. Because that was one of those phenomenons where the song would come out, you'd hear it, but they didn't get released into the chart, did they, for a while? Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, everybody would like it, and then you'd finally be able to buy it,
Or to
and then it
get it
would
from the
get into
shop.
the chart. Because that
Buy it from the
summer
shop.
before my 18th, I went to Fanaraki with my sister, and it was all in the, it was just that constantly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like harking back to you talking about Smirnoff Ice this last week and stuff.
Regrets, you've had a few. See,
Ooh.
I went to Magaluf with my friend at like 1920, and
Yeah.
they're interesting times, children.
They are. Not times I want my children to go through, but I guess it's a rite of passage. So.
Yes, indeed it is. Again, if I ever watch this when they make it, I won't.
Yeah.
But
Okay.
yes, you're number two. Hey, number two.
My number two mix a bit is the syrup. They make a special syrup to go in the gingerbread martini, which you would like
Nice.
probably because it's ginger, cinnamon, and cloves. And then you like boil it up with, just water and then distill it
Yes.
and then keep
I
it
have made
mixing.
syrup.
Have you done those? Yeah, I
Ooh.
looked and I was like, I could do this one. This one looks easy
I've made a
and
sugar
tasty.
syrup, yes.
Yeah, and that I was kind of looking at as being a mix of all the very sweet characters that surround them in this story. So I already mentioned Marguerite, who's a spy, and she's very much like she's looking out for Grace. She's very protective and clever and funny. It's a little bit more complicated with her as the story goes on, but she's nice. And then there's Bear Tongue, who I mentioned as well, who
Yes.
is just hilarious. She's this older member of the Temple of the White Rat, and she's kind of like their boss. She's kind of taken charge of these lost paladins, and she takes them in, but she's sort of like, she kind of acts like they're her little bratty brothers or something. She's like bossing them around, but she's funny. She'll like they're when they're stood in this court, and she's got them like being her bodyguards, and they're behind her and they're talking, and they've spotted this like swan made of ice, and they're like discussing whether or not you could use it as a weapon and stuff. And she's just like, will you stop trying to make me laugh? Kind of thing. You're like, she's like, I will excommunicate you. And Stephen's like, technically, we're not members of your temple. She's like, I will make you members of the temple so I
Just to
can
get rid of you.
excommunicate you harder. So, and he's like, I will put you in the stockades. You don't have stockades. I'll build them. I'll build them just for you. But in this really like affectionate, fun way.
Oh, I like her.
And one of the particular other paladins, and I think it's his book that comes next, is Istvan. He comes from like a different place. So I think like when they're members of the temples or the gods, they can come from all over to to be this. And he's kind of like this big golden retriever slash Viking. And he's just hilarious. He's
Your mixes
really...
today are interesting.
I know. He's brilliant. Yeah, and he has like... He's kind of a ladies' man, and he's the one that like figures out that Stephen's met someone, and he's like, "Come on, you could just, you know, go after this woman." And Stephen's very unsure about it because it's not, they don't have to take like a vow of celibacy or anything like that. But since they've lost their god, he's worried about what would happen with the rage and stuff, and his man doesn't care. He's like, "You'll be fine, just go for it, makes you happy," kind of thing.
It's always one. I
Like,
love those.
And when Stephen's like saying, "I don't know anything about her, she could be married, she could have six kids," and his fan's like, "Well, the six kids isn't a problem, but and if she's married, what kind of husband was letting her go around the graveyard at that time? We'll just kill him off." It's like, he's great.
So, and his book's next. We need to
and
get this one on the case.
I think it's his one next.
Oh.
I think it's Paladin's Strength or something. And I really need to get on to reading the second book. It's like when we were doing The Winter King last week, and I was like, I
Oh.
really need to read The Sea
The
King
second
now.
book.
Yeah. And I was looking on the website when I was doing the notes for that as well. And like the third book, apparently she's, I think the author's woman, I'm assuming. I think she's working on it. And it was like she'd written it and then like stopped and scrapped it all because it wasn't quite working. But it's still there. It's still in the pipeline, that third
Oh, aren't
book.
they always? They're in there
Yeah, I mean,
somewhere.
I know that feeling. God, I've got so many projects that I'm like, I will get back to that one day. I really, really want to finish that. But am I gonna? Takes me far too long to write one book.
To
I
the
don't think
first
I
one,
can
yeah,
write
you'd probably.
six this year. So.
Oh, God. Need the Dixon effect on me to get that done.
So yeah, so that was my cocktail, my mix, and
Nice.
that was yours, and we'll see,
Yes.
yeah, where that's going to
Oh,
take us next
yes.
week.
Next week. So yeah, so next week is number three. God,
Number
nearly halfway
three,
already.
yeah,
Flying.
and we've already had three good books,
We have
three
fantastic.
books for them. Yeah,
Probably
we'll
more,
see.
because there's gonna be sequels.
Well,
I don't
this
even
is
know how
it.
many
If
of
you
these there
count them
are.
all. I mean, you already
Yes.
recommended the sequel to The Winter King, so
Yeah, the Witch is
it's
already in your
four,
list.
basically. Did you read any more in that series? Or was
I
that
think
it?
I think I bought about seven or eight, but I think there is more. So I know I've read a few. Well,
A
she's one of
few.
eight kids. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
A
So
few.
was it all the brothers and then
Well,
all of his pack or and then
yes. So, and then you find, so the last chapter, the epilogue, I think, has a, and they did this and this and this. And then somewhere in New Mexico, the wolves come out. And then somewhere in North America, the cubs are stalking from the cave. And then somewhere else, these people are coming out. And I'm like, oh my God, there are millions of them. Like minions all over, but without dungarees.
I don't know. That seemed to be a thing a lot more that an author would be like, this is the world, and I am going to be writing in this world for the
Forever.
foreseeable future. And I'm like, I don't know if I could do that for that long. I don't know. Do you feel
Oh, I don't
happy?
know.
What do
I
you
think I
reckon?
could.
You think you could? You
I
could
think
like.
it, yeah, if you find a character that, have you never had a character that you've written and you've kind of like, yeah, side character, duh, 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 I like the way this happens and that happens, but then it's like, God, you need your backstory. Ruth needs my backstory. I'm there for that already. And I've not even done the third one. And I'm already there thinking I need to do that. So, yeah.
I do. I mean, that's basically what happened with the first four books.
So then, yes, Jessica, I do.
Yes, I do that. But eventually I get to a point and I'm like, okay, I've got to write some like in a
Yeah, I
different
need to be different now.
arena. And I'm doing
Yes.
that with the ones now as well. It was like I wrote the first one and I was like, but I could do a story about that one there. And then I've
Yeah.
got another idea for another one, which hopefully we're going to pitch and we'll see if that gets picked up. It might not. I got that, and I've got a backstory one too as well. So, you
Yeah.
know, like the cave, the legend in the cave. with Billy. I was like, that's like a really cool story with him coming down and like them. Yeah. So I'd love to do that. And sometimes I think to myself, oh, well, maybe I'll just do them and like put them in my newsletter. But I struggle to get my newsletter out, to be honest. So writing stories to go in the newsletter too is tricky. But do sign up, people, if you're listening.
Yeah,
and you fancy
sign up to it. Well, it's just because we've been discussing if anybody has children that have been off this Easter spring half term, it's lasted for 9 months. I could have had another baby in the 2 week window that the kids have been off.
I mean, if you I'm want not to, going but to. Don't.
No. See, the middle wants a snake, so that's where we'd go. I'd much prefer to have a giant snake in the house.
I don't know about that, but yeah, it's tricky for me at the moment, like, because my youngest, I mean, your youngest is like similar age, so I don't know if you're experiencing it too. Maybe it's slightly different because you have boy, I have girl, but she seems to have like reached that sort of tipping point of moving into a new area of maturity and not seeming so young anymore, and a lot of the baby things are kind of
going,
and it's feeling a bit like, oh, so we gotta say goodbye to that now.
Yeah, the boy is much more, he's a lot more, I don't want to say immature, he is younger than the girls ever were at that age, so it's a bit. Yeah, I'm assuming it will be when he hits like 16, he'll suddenly just become like a berserker and just go,
just tying it back in there, the berserker.
Yeah, basically.
But he will be a berserker who knits, because you raised him to be very emotionally rounded and confident in his sexuality.
I have just started to learn to crochet because of him. So,
oh, really?
Yes.
I still can't crochet.
I suck at it, but I'm trying to make him a Jigglypuff.
Oh,
which is Pokemon, if
so
nobody
sweet.
Gets the reference.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really not. I'll send you a picture of the thing it looks like at the minute.
It's nailed it, but with crochet. Jesus.
Oh, it was supposed to be a Gengar, but the wall was too dark and I couldn't make it work. I got very frustrated. And
just changed that, yeah.
I tossed it across the room. So it's now a Jigglypuff.
There's like crochet needles just in the wall.
But with purple. It looks like one of those murder scenes in a film where there's just wool.
Which is one of the things Stephen talks about, because he's like says how, people, for some weird reason, people don't take a warrior seriously if he's knitting socks.
He doesn't understand
why, because he has to use like numerous bone needles that he could use as weapons.
Jabbing in the wall.
But then his second thought is, but I wouldn't, because it's a real bugger to get them all hooked back on afterwards.
Really.
And as I said, that's like the practicality side coming through there. Why do that? I've got a perfectly good sword down here. I'll put my knitting down safely and get the sword
just
out instead.
This is it. I can go to the shop and buy a Jigglypuff. Why am I learning to do this?
Yeah. See, I did that. I did some knitting when my eldest was, when I was expecting her and just after. And then I haven't had as much time to do it for the second one, so I get guilted because she doesn't have knitted things, and also my eyes have got a lot worse, so I find it a lot harder to do the knitting.
Squint at it. So again, age thing.
And I'm but every time she sees these knitted things that my eldest has, and she's like, oh, are you gonna do that one for me that I asked for, mummy, like years and years ago? And I'm like, oh, you know, it's like you just get it right in the chest. Damn, that she's gonna be telling that to a therapist when I'm older.
Our eldest has got like a baby book, and you do the thing of the foot, and it's like, well, if I'm doing your foot now, I need like an A4 piece of paper, because it wasn't done when you were this big.
I mean, made it 3 months with the baby book for the eldest anyway.
Tedious.
I did all the pregnancy stuff in about 3 months, and then I didn't get any further. So, you know, and I've hidden that, so she doesn't know.
Yeah, that's in the loft.
There's no collateral there.
Is like the box. You'll find this box after I'm gone, and it will just be, why have you got one of these? I've not.
Oh, and see, the thing is, I remember, because I'm the second child, and I remember looking, there was a photo album that was full of pictures of my sister doing all sorts of things. She was young. And then there was like half a photo album of me, mostly with my sister.
Yeah.
And I was like, why are there no pictures of me? But now I know why.
Yeah, because just, yeah, it's yeah. just you couldn't. Yeah.
That's it.
Why are they always at Christmas and Easter? Because that's just when we could
that's
be
when
bothered.
It happens. That's when we yeah. can take the photos.
Yeah. Family around and we have to and look also, like we care.
It's not like we can say to the oldest one, go away, so I could just get a yeah, picture just, of the youngest.
I only want to take a picture of the one.
Just you, not you.
Yeah. Not that I love you the most.
That's different trauma.
Oh, Jesus.
You have to pick your traumas for the kids.
Yeah. Well, Middle's already got a syndrome just because she is, so that she can have that, yeah. and I'll pick the other two as we go.
That's it. Yeah. Fun times.
Yeah. Cool. Anyway, on that note, though, for yeah. 10 minutes of just of our therapy.
I know. If you're still there, we are talking yeah. about books, vaguely.
Yeah. Here's something like that. But yeah, so come and join us next week. We will be doing things that we can't tell you because it's the secret.
Surprise
on books
things.
That we're not going to tell you. So if that's of interest to you.
Was the surprise okay? It didn't drive you mad?
Yes, no, it's awesome.
Good,
no.
good. Because you said you didn't like surprises.
Oh, but... no, usually I'm, where are we now? April. My birthday stuff will start early May for June.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm a git, I am. Sorry, babe, but I am. But yes. So come and join us next week for episode 3. Where are all the usual places, the YouTube, the Spotify, the TikTok, the, oh, I don't know, all the social people, you know who
all
we are, SFF Rumcast. And if you want to send us an email, because people have been, it's sffrumcast@gmail.com.
Don't send us kids books, though. Don't send us those.
No, we have had a few.
Was
people
there another
send us
one
books.
A few days ago? Wasn't there?
There was, and they look fantastic, and I can give them to my kids, but we can't chat about them here.
I mean, funnily enough, when we had someone email us before from a publisher offering a book that was not sci-fi or fantasy, but it was romance. I have now bought that book because it looked good.
It's a good
book. And I read contemporary. But yes. I couldn't read, unfortunately, well, I guess not unfortunately, because that money has now gone to the author, which is great.
Yes, which
but
is hard.
Yeah, the arc was no good for us because we can't read them if they're not sci-fi
if
or fantasy
not,
romance,
yeah,
please.
Romance.
That's
But yes,
it.
But if you just want to come chat to us, feel free to do that because that's fine. I like emails.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Cool. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like, but be kind while you do it because we're people and we have feelings. So...
Mostly. But as we said, over 40, not so many fucks given anymore.
Yeah, I think we did that off the podcast, but it's still
we did.
Relevant
but just general...
very much to this, I think.
Yeah, to all of this. Everything today has just slotted into the places.
Exactly. Very much an age thing going on here.
I can see a title coming now.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Yes.
I'll send you a list soon.
Yay. Right.
Yes.
But yes, so we'll see you soon,
thank
people.
Thank you for joining us. And hopefully you'll be here next week.
You shall do. I will.
Love you.